Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. They are the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, you can visit emp180.com and get empowered. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, May 20th, 2019. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning. And Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir.
Donnie Cake's on vacay this week.
I'm jealous. Love to be able to sleep in.
Ooh, and he did a move which Jason would generally do, where next Monday is Memorial Day, so we'd be off on Monday. So Hicks is kind of getting
a little bit of
a longer vacation.
Yeah, good for him. I'm jealous. Super jealous. Didn't sleep well last night.
Yeah, your voice sounds kind of banged up.
Well, I just still have a little cold.
Still the cough, the allergies, cold?
Yeah, all that. And I just didn't sleep well last night. I was tossing and turning all night. So, yeah. I'm jealous of Cakes, believe me.
I stayed up late last night. I just was not tired at all. So I'm working on about 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
I went to bed at 4-0 last night. Nats Cubs. I said this game's done. And I guess they made it interesting. Yeah, they made it interesting. I guess in the seventh, pulled it within one, but another loser.
Another lost series, right?
Another lost series.
Yeah, 2 of 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. I mean, they're just not good.
No, they're not. So.
No, I mean, and Friday, you know, we've been ripping the bullpen all season long. Friday may have been the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Scherzer got through 6 tough innings.
Yep.
Only allowed 3 runs, kept him in the ball game. And then the bullpen proceeded to give up 11 in 3 innings.
Yeah, it was gross.
Who hit 3 bombs in that game for the Cubs? Was it Amora?
No, Bryant.
It was Bryant.
Oh, Bryant.
Bryant.
Bryant jacked 3 out. Yeah.
And no, yesterday,
then Strasburg pitched well. And then
Strasburg pitched a gem.
Awesome.
Yeah. Problem is, they, you know, 2 of their 5 starters just really don't give you a chance.
Well, they just have to stop with Helixson. Just stop.
Yeah. I mean, there's, what else can you do?
Stop already. I don't know.
Unless you go out and acquire somebody or you move Ross back in there. And,
I don't know. Didn't I see Gio's pitching well with the Brewers? He's had at least a couple good starts. I may have not in his last, but I think in his first 2 or 3, he had pitched really well. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's out there.
Yeah, I mean, you can go out. Well, Dallas Keuchel's out there.
Yeah, I guess.
You can go out and get him.
I don't know why.
You want to pay $20
million? Yeah, they're not going to do that. You know that for a fact. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a shame. It's just all going up in smoke, and it's going up in smoke fast.
Yeah, I looked at wild card standings just to see what was doing there, and there was only one team below them.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe how far back they were.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not in that.
It's a complete
mess.
Second worst record. I mean, the Marlins are the only team with less wins.
Complete mess.
But the Nats do get the Mets, who just were swept by the Marlins. I mean, the Mets are a complete forest fire, too.
A lot of talk of them firing their manager, Mickey Callaway.
Yeah, well, he's certainly on a hot seat. The Mets are 20-25, lost 5 straight. But the Nats aren't much better.
Yeah, not a good weekend for the Nats. They did get the one win when Strasburg goes 8 innings, allows just 4 hits.
And at that point, they had won 3 of 4. You think maybe you're building a little momentum. But then, you know, you lose another one like you do yesterday, and your start only goes 3 innings, and it's just, just going to be more of the same, I guess.
Sanchez is on the IL now. Not that he was pitching well. He was pitching horribly.
So what are they going to do? They're going to start Fetty?
Probably going to go with Fetty.
Yeah. He had pitched well until the game I went to when he gave up the bomb. But maybe you just hope that
they
was just one bad inning.
They just don't have good pitchers. They have a good closer, and they have 3 good starters.
Yeah.
Everybody else, they're pretty much garbage.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
Yeah, it's rough. Mike Rizzo kept telling us, hey, when we get our players all back, and they're pretty close to that now, then he thought that they would be a much better team. And, you know, they got Turner back over the weekend and still dropped 2 of 3.
And they may be a better team. is just not good enough with that bullpen.
Well, and then you're eight back. I mean, eight's a big number.
Yeah.
And Harper looks like he's starting to get hot. He hit two bombs over the weekend. Eight's a big number to climb out of.
Crushed one. I mean, you 470
got,
feet.
Yeah, he pummeled that. I mean, you're to the point where you have to start winning, sweeping these series. And two out of three just doesn't do it.
Yeah, it's kind of silly to even think about the playoffs with them. They just got to try to win games. I mean, it's a shame. I just can't believe how quickly it just happened. I mean, it's just stunning to me. But it is what it is. It's frustrating.
Yeah,
it's going to be a long summer, man. It'll be a long summer.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what will happen. Like, they may end up selling off players.
Yeah, maybe. Who do you sell? I mean, I guess you don't want to sell
Rendon.
Any of your long-term pieces.
You might sell off, Rendon. You know, guys who you're not sure to sign.
You can't sell off Rendon. If you do, that's a big blow.
Well, he might leave anyway.
Yeah, I just think you have to sign him. You have to do whatever it takes.
Look, they have a bunch of analytics people in the front office. They may look at the analytics and say, time to blow it up to an extent.
I can't see that. I'll bet against it. But I thought they were going to be super competitive this year, so don't listen to me. I know nothing. But yeah, I'd be super disappointing as a Nats fan if they you know, sell off key piece like a Rendon.
Yesterday they brought in Kyle MacGowan.
Yeah.
Since when has he been on the roster?
I don't know, about a minute.
They just brought him up.
Yeah.
But he has the same type of ERA as everybody else in the bullpen.
Yeah.
He pitched three innings, gave up two earned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough.
When you have Helixson,
who never gets past the fifth inning, has a 6.23 ERA, and you have Sanchez, who's now hurt, but Sanchez not delivering at all, puts all the pressure on the other three, and unfortunately, they haven't been winning when Scherzer's been pitching.
Well, here are the guys that would be available if they did want to sell off. Zimmerman, Gomes, Adam Eaton.
Dozier,
Doolittle.
Can't get rid of Doolittle. He's one of our few people.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just giving you guys who are up. Obviously, Rendon. Matt Adams. 2020 is a mutual option. I'm not sure exactly what that means. And Tony Sipp.
I don't mind any of the first seven or eight that you mentioned. The only one that would upset me, honestly, would be Rendon.
Rendon, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Rendon's a great player. I'm just saying, if you're not confident that you're going to be able to re-sign
him. You just have to.
And you just lose him.
You just have to
like
sign
they
him.
Did with Bryce Harper.
They just can't do that. They
if
have to
If you can
sign
move
him
for top prospects.
Nah, you can't. You can't do it. It's that's off the board. They have to sign him. If they don't sign Rendon, it is a massive failure. Massive. But the other guys, you don't want to see any of them go, but I would be okay with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to lose Doolittle. He's like maybe the only guy in the bullpen that's usable.
Reliable. Yeah.
I don't know if he can play third base. I know he's a shortstop, but maybe you envision Keyboom as being a Rendon replacement.
Maybe. They like to do that. I hope not. I'll be massively disappointed.
I was reading yesterday that they believe Soto ultimately is going to land at first base.
Yeah. Well, because he's been so bad in the outfield.
Yeah, he's not a great outfielder.
They got to find a spot for him.
He hasn't been that great at the dish either.
And obviously, Zim's not going to be back next year. Well, I wouldn't.
Certainly not anything close to the numbers
Not as a starter.
He's not helping himself with, you know, missing a ton of games.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, so we're starting the Monday show with the bad news of the Nats. You should be excited, EB. OTAs start today in Ashburn, Virginia. The Case versus Dwayne Haskins sweepstakes begin.
I mean, it'd be interesting if we have something to talk about, but, you know, we're not going to get to see any of that. It'd be fascinating to see how it all unfolds.
I'm sure we'll get some tidbits.
We'll get some
little nuggets.
But the
tidbits are probably going to be, Dwayne looked great, Case looked good. It's going to be that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's great. It's crazy kind of how that slowly starts to snowball into you have something, you know. Before you know it, it'll be the end of summer. And we'll be about ready to tee it up for preseason. Yep. It'll fly by.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I guess, will be the first day. J.P. Finley writes about it. First day that Case and Dwayne are on the field together. And the coaching staff will get a little side-by-side look at both guys.
I mean, Coach Jay Gruden says open competition. So the competition begins.
I believe it. And, I'm of the mindset, I've said it all along, I don't want to start Haskins just because he's a first-round pick. When he's ready,
he's got to be ready.
And he wins the competition, start him. And whenever that is, I have no idea when that's going to be. Maybe it'll be right out of camp. There's certainly going to be pressure within the organization to get him out there as soon as possible. But I just want him to be ready so that there are as few setbacks as possible.
I mean, I can't believe the OTAs are here already.
And it's crazy. Yeah. You know?
I mean, we're almost to Memorial Day weekend.
Yep. And then summer will absolutely fly by, and then they'll be in training camp before you know it. It's just the way life works.
My daughter graduates, and your son graduates in, what, 2 weeks? My daughter graduates June 11th.
I don't even know the date. I don't know the date. He's at his school, they've finished up their classes, and they do community service for like 2 weeks or so. So he's in the middle of that community service portion.
Yeah, gotcha.
But they're done. Yeah. They had our lacrosse banquet last night, wrapped up and for all.
Yeah, we have ours on Thursday.
The high school career, which is always kind of bittersweet. So, yeah, didn't get a lot of rest last night. Didn't get a lot of rest this weekend. Didn't really watch a lot of Koepka. I didn't feel like I needed to until down the stretch yesterday.
How disappointed are you? No Tiger on the weekend.
I mean, it was fine. I mean, it's not as interesting when Tiger's not there, certainly.
I mean, he just wasn't good enough.
Tiger week cut short.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, but you know what? There was a little bit of drama on the back nine yesterday.
Yeah, it made it interesting, which is good.
And that's what the 7-stroke lead's for Koepka, even though he had 5 bogeys and 7 holes, and DJ made it interesting, but.
Was he villainous this weekend, EB?
I think he's a villain.
By the way, he did show emotion. He showed some emotion after that winning putt.
Yeah. He was super excited. He's not a villain. He's not particularly likable for me. He's super arrogant. But if I was super talented.
If I was that good, I'd be arrogant too.
Yeah.
So he's won 4 majors in
7.
Four out of his last 7.
4 out of 8.
Is it 4 of 8? I thought it was 4 of his last 7.
Yep.
So that's a great run. Now,
he's the fifth player ever to have 4 majors before the age of 30.
What I said last week, and it might not be 4 and 8. It feels like that happened with Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth.
Those guys kind of did. I mean, Roy stopped at 4, and Jordan has stopped at 3.
Yeah,
but it was also in kind of a short time frame, and you thought, oh, they're the next Tiger.
That's where you got to be careful with the comparisons,
Jordan.
Although the way he dominated is very Tiger-like. Although Tiger never really choked like that down the stretch, but he still...
I mean, he's not Tiger.
He still held off. And he should get props. I think
Tiger had 10 majors before the age of 30.
Right.
And Koepka has 4.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's a whole different level. But very impressive. You know, he just comes up big at the majors. He's focused. He's just better than everyone else.
I'll say this.
123 mile per hour club head speed. It's just absurd.
I'll say this.
If I tried to swing that fast, I'd fall down on the tee box.
We should watch the long driver guys. Those guys.
Oh, I know. They're 140.
They're crazy.
I don't have any perspective, though. How does his 123 compare to?
I think the tour average is 114 is the tour average.
Yeah. I mean, the really fast guys are like 118, 119.
Yeah.
Rory and Koepka are 123. I know Tiger was up in the low 120s, at least last year. It's just really, really fast.
Just so when Brooks is on, he is the best player in the game. Nobody can beat him. When he's on all cylinders and he's banging those drives and he's so solid with everything else, putting and everything, he can't be beat. That's the bottom line. If he's playing his absolute A game, you can't beat him. Tiger
can't beat him. Sunday with like a 7-shot lead, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's so he had built a lot, nice cushions,
no drama.
So he could afford to bogey 4 holes in a row, wherever he did.
He was wire to wire. First time PGA champion's been wire to wire since 1983.
But it was actually good to see that, from my perspective, that the pressure did get to him a little bit. That he is human. And it was bad DJ couldn't put a little bit more of a scare into him.
It also showed you how difficult that course was, because if you were in the rough, I mean, it was a bogey hole.
Yeah, that course is ridiculous. What he did to it the first 3 days is absolutely absurd. I mean, Tiger missed the cut by a stroke, was never really in it, but he shot 72, 73. It wasn't like he went out there and shot 80, 82. You know, that course is just brutal.
And yesterday in particular was brutal because there weren't that many guys under par.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Koepka's playing with Varner. Varner shot 81.
Right.
And Koepka didn't have a double bogey the entire week, which is absolutely ridiculous on that course.
What is the Sup Dog shout-out? Because I missed that. It says on the outline, Sup Dog shout out.
It was a golfer, I guess, Varner. From ECU.
Was it Varner? On Van Pelt.
Yeah.
But he says the audio.
Oh, he does?
When Van Pelt talked to him?
No.
Van Pelt just threw it.
I was doing the highlight.
I think he said Sup Dog, though.
That's fine.
No, it was cool.
My guy, Harold Varner, the third, making just his fifth career major start, his second career cut made in a major on 18, taking dead aim. ECU, everybody's down in Sup Dog,
LFG,
getting after it, ready to support their guy, birdie putt
nice.
For Varner.
Nice shout out from Van Pelt. Very cool.
By the way, there was a hole in one, so you guys lost your money there.
Well, and it wasn't just that there was a hole in one, it was how far into the tournament it happened. I mean, it was 5 o'clock on Sunday. It's
impossible to win gambling.
There's literally 10 players left.
I mean, there were 10 players to play a par three, and that's just like the dealer pulling a 6-card 21 on your 20.
Right.
I mean, it's just the worst beat of all time.
And it wasn't even on 14, too.
That's true.
It was on 16 or 17.
Harder par three.
It was like a 210 yard par three.
What was that? Is that $100 bet you guys had? $100 each, or just $100 total?
$200 total.
That sucks.
Good thing you got Venmo. I shipped it to him right away.
Yeah, you're so bitter.
I was so bitter.
As always, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the show, you can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Line at 800-636-1067.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, you guys know I don't watch Game of Thrones. I don't think any of us do in here except for Valdez.
A lot of people upset.
It was amazing. I've bumped into three people this morning. So, last night I was up late. One of the reasons why I was up late is because my son, you know, he and his boys, they had a big Game of Thrones party. That's what they've been doing here these Sunday nights.
And this was the final episode, correct?
Final episode, of the whole damn show.
Okay.
Eight seasons. And it all comes down to this.
I guess
who won the game?
I guess it starts at 9 or something, but those guys didn't get started till 10 because some guys came late. So they didn't get home till 12:30. So I don't really rest well until everyone's home, safe and sound. So that's one of the reasons why I was up late. But I didn't talk to him about it. But I ran into Valdez at the coffee machine. And he was just kind of shaking his head about it, saying it was a big waste, big letdown. Then Sunny came in from PGC. She heard us talking about it. She said it was a big dud. And then the little guy, God, I don't want to call him the wrong name, from El Zol.
Chepe.
Chep. What is it?
Chepe.
That's the first time that I've ever heard that. Chepe. And I say hi to him all the time. I didn't know.
I didn't know his name.
Yeah.
I know Patricia, the girl. But
he's the nicest guy ever.
Oh, he's great.
We say hello every morning. I just didn't know his name. And he, first thing he asked me is, do I watch Game of Thrones? And I said, no. And he goes, oh, what a disappointment. So Valdez.
Who won the game?
So since
what does that mean?
I don't know. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Who ends up on the throne?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it's all about?
I have no idea. No, I don't know the first thing about it. Why is everyone so upset? Is it universal that everyone's upset?
You have no idea how happy I am that season is over with. And I don't have to stay up and watch this dumb show anymore.
Oh, so it's a big disappointment
this is why people are upset, is that they've dedicated 8 years of their life watching this show. Mm. And it's a great show and everything. And so everyone in their head had this vision of how it was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't come to fruition.
Isn't it often true that these iconic shows...
You brought up a great point about no one's really happy at a series finale.
It's really, really hard to nail it.
Like with Sopranos or Seinfeld or anything like that.
People always complain about season finales. I mean, maybe MASH is one of the better ones, but... You know, and I'm going back 40 years, but it's crazy, man. It's iconic shows, people often set themselves up for big disappointment. It's hard to end a show, right? That's really, really hard.
Yeah, but this whole season has kind of been a letdown. Like the writers got their big Star Wars gig, and they kind of just gave up on the Game of Thrones.
Is that what you think?
I think a lot of people think that.
It's crazy because for me, just as an outsider, I felt that the Game of Thrones buzz this year was greater than any of the previous seasons.
They knew it was the last season.
I mean, the buzz was enormous, and yet all people are doing is complaining about it.
By the way, only six episodes. The season had six episodes.
Yeah, but there are hour and 20, hour 30 minute episodes.
Yeah.
So it really goes
could
to
have
about
been maybe
eight,
10
nine.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah.
I saw a few clips of the episode before. Like, I knew it was the finale, and I just flipped over to HBO just to see what it was doing. I mean, it was the episode before, so this is not a spoiler. So everybody was lining up as if they were getting ready for this huge war, And then just a dragon comes in and fire and just destroys everybody.
Oh, more dragons?
Of course.
yeah.
I didn't even know dragons
they,
were
like,
part
knocked
of it.
Down, like, the breath, the dragon breath, knocked down a castle and probably killed thousands of people.
Well, I would think. I mean, dragons should rule the world. Flying dragons who can breathe fire should rule the world.
What was Danny's take on it? Because I saw before it aired, right? He tweeted like 10 different things about how happy that was great about it or everything, or he was thankful for it. I don't know. It was hard for me to follow. I mean, I saw a couple of his tweets.
So everybody was bitter.
What did he think at the end? Was Danny happy? Or
I don't know.
I saw from his Twitter, he didn't give his opinion, but he gave a number 1 through 10 for each character.
Mm.
And that was kind of his take.
I saw Jason Whitlock, who I don't follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't follow him on Twitter, but somehow I saw it. Somebody must have retweeted.
Yeah.
And he said it just dropped out of his top 10 shows of all time because the finale was so bad.
He was pretty hard on it.
It was such a well-regarded show for so long, and then it has a dud of a finale, and it taints everything.
Did anybody like it? Did anybody like the finale,
I haven't seen one person with a glowing remark about it on Twitter or talking to
people. And that was the last two episodes, right? So last night and then the week before, wasn't there some criticism of the week before?
But it seems to me there's been criticism almost the entire season.
Oh.
Except I felt like maybe the second episode people loved, but maybe not.
There was one really cool scene
last night, I believe,
in the second episode that everyone was going crazy about when Arya Stark, stabs the White Walker King, right? It was like an epic moment, and that was worth watching. But since then, it's been crap. And last night, I thought it was so slow. It was like half montages with music underneath.
Were there like iconic characters that were killed off in the final episode? Was there a lot of that?
There was a big death.
There was a big death.
Yes. Well,
I think not watching the show, people expected that.
Uh-huh.
But there's so much anticipation for the season, and so... Like, people are generally not satisfied with finales. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But, look, Brendan Dahr is on Twitter calling the writers a-holes.
Oh,
he is? People are just, like, losing their minds about a TV show. I think it's a little much.
It is much, because at the end of the day, it's entertainment.
Yeah, of course.
No one should be pissed off at the fact that the finale was bad.
You do want some bang for your buck. But it's so hard to end an iconic show. I remember when The Sopranos ended, we had good debate about it on the show. But I didn't absolutely love it. I wanted there to be some more clarity. But now as I look back on it, I think it was a great ending, you know? So, I don't know, maybe people feel that way in 5 years.
I mean, I like the music at the end, but you either wanted him killed off.
Well, he kind of leaves it up to your discretion.
Well, that's right. It was up for debate.
I think in hindsight, it ended up working out okay.
I remember shows like The Wire, season finale being really good. I remember The Shield. I was a big Shield fan. That one was pretty good.
Neither of those shows. Now, The Wire was kind of up there. The Shield, popular, but not like this. The Game of Thrones phenomenon is unbelievable.
I'm just talking about season finales, series finales that I liked. I'd have to think about a few more, but yeah, it's probably a 50%. I mean, half of them are good, half of them suck.
What's the next show that everyone's going to be on that the entire country is going to be talking about?
Good question.
I had a friend this weekend went out to dinner on Saturday night and said there's a Netflix show with Christina Applegate, which is supposed to be really good. Dead to Me, I think it's called.
Yeah, but that ain't going
to
be
the
show everyone's going to be talking about.
That's not going to match Game of Thrones.
I know, but it might be good.
Okay, there's plenty of good stuff. I'm asking, what's the next iconic culture-changing show?
So Stranger Things season 3 comes back July 4th, and I think that'll be close.
You think that's going to pick up momentum?
Because it's on Netflix, though, everyone will binge it, and that's the difference. Is this Game of Thrones, it was a once-a-week thing. Everyone's watching at the same time.
Right.
I don't know how you match that.
Yeah, but maybe everybody's just going to come back to, like, my daughter and just start watching Survivor again every week.
It's I'm psyched.
Survivor.
All right, let's go to Chris in Stafford. Chris, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm about your age. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Very disappointed with season 8. I'll use this analogy. What happened is the writers were never the writers originally. There was an author, and they produced his writings. Once they gave him two jobs, it's like giving a head coach the GM job. Couldn't do both very well. All they did is blow it. And I'm kind of satisfied that it's over, but very disappointed. I think season 8 was probably the worst.
So you feel like Drabby did. The writers mailed it in, or Valdez said. The writers mailed it in. Once they got their Star Wars gig, that was it.
I think they were good at producing a great book. I don't think they were good at writing an outcome that kind of was consistent with the last seven seasons, or that really lived up to what we...
But was the ending of the TV show the same as the ending of the book?
The book has not been finished.
Oh. Hmm. That's weird.
So how would you grade the entire series through 8 years?
Like I said, I'm your age. My kids kind of got me into watching it. It became kind of a family thing.
Right.
I would say it's probably my top three. You know, it's my top three as far as those kind of
series go. Give me your top three then.
Breaking Bad is number one. Lost, and then this.
Lost was good.
Everybody raved about Breaking Bad. That's the one. Another one that we were on the outside looking in, where literally everyone loved.
I did watch Lost.
We're 70 episodes behind.
Lost. I'm never gonna watch it.
Lost had a wacky ending too. I think a lot of times,
Lost for a period of
my
time.
Theory on TV. Now this is based on a book, and I wasn't aware of it. And he's saying the book isn't even finished, which is weird to me. A lot of times with TV, I think you pitch a show. They give you the right to do the show. You go on a network like HBO or something like that. You have to get popular to have a second season, a third season, a fourth season, right? They are only really thinking about season one. Like, how can we get a show that's popular enough to get through season one? Then all of a sudden they got to scramble and write season two. And they don't necessarily have an ending in mind.
Of course.
Their ending is that season one.
Of course.
And so then when they get to an ending, it's going to be whack for a lot of people because they're just
kind of on the fly.
Like, all right, the show's not as popular. Like Walking Dead, for example. Walking Dead, it's based on a comic book, whatever, but it's just going to keep going and going and going. And at some point, the viewership's going to go down. It's already been going down. They're going to say, all right, this is the last season.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, but you would think that the writers would be creative enough to put something together that the fans would like. Yeah. Like when 95% of the fans hate it,
right?
You mean you did mail it in. I'm sorry.
I guess. But why did they end the show when it was so popular? Was it not as, I know it wasn't as popular last year. Is that why?
No, it was 100% because they took the Star Wars job. They were done with this.
But that's why they ended the show.
HBO wanted to do more episodes.
But the writers didn't.
Yeah, and everyone said it's run its course.
The writers, so they're basically admitting they ran out of ideas.
But also, things do run its course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, at some point, like, Seinfeld could have kept going. It was popular.
Now
at some point, he's like, I've written every possible angle of every possible thing.
Every mundane situation possible.
There'll be spinoffs.
Right. Didn't I read they're working on something like 6 spinoffs?
I saw 3.
I saw ones that said 6. I couldn't name. How many characters are there or spinoff worthy, in your opinion?
I think 2. I would watch 2.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. It's crazy to see so many people disappointed about a show that they were so excited about. Did the numbers go down as the season progressed?
I know, because, like, the ratings have. Like, if you go on Rotten Tomatoes. The
audience rating.
Audience rating.
Right.
I don't think the viewership actually went down.
Yeah, I don't think.
There's only 6
people
episodes.
Still
people
hung
had
in there.
To watch the
they
finale.
Kept hoping that it would get better.
Well, now it's kind of becoming... the cool thing to trash it.
Yeah. People did love the battle scene from a couple episodes ago.
But they didn't like how dark it was.
It was dark, but they said it was amazing.
They liked everything,
but
they couldn't see it.
I never got around to watching it. I told Valdez I was going to give it a shot just to watch the battle scene.
Yeah.
So was this the first season without a book as guidance? Maybe that's the issue.
The last 2 seasons have been
like that.
The
last 2.
And was last season better than this season?
Last season, it was kind of the same thing. It was rushed, but I guess it wasn't like a whole popular thing to kill it. Like this season, the popular thing is to just crush it.
Was last season just 6 episodes too?
No, it was. I think it was 8.
It was 8. This year, they could barely crank out 6. And then
HBO asked them to do 10.
And they're like, we'll give you 6.
Can you simply answer this question? And this, I don't think this is spoiling anything, because if you watched Game of Thrones, everybody watched the finale already. I don't think anybody was saving it for today. It'd be done.
Well, there might be some people who would get up
Doug
early.
McKinney.
In the end.
Oh, he hadn't watched.
Yeah, he's got his hands over his ears.
Just tell me this. In the end, is there somebody on the throne?
Yes, there's a king.
Okay. That's what the show's all about. Who's going to be the king at the end?
I have no idea.
All kinds of people are chiming in on the vibes machine.
And what are they saying? Are they... pissed? Were they frustrated?
Game of Thrones was based off several books. No idea if that's true or not.
A series of books, I see.
One guy says it's not true about Star Wars. He said the actors and actresses were contracted to do other movies and shows.
Uh-huh.
Don't know if that's true
or not.
For
contributing factors.
Yep. Yeah, people are all over the place on this.
Well, all I know is the first three people, literally the first three people I bumped into this morning, all mentioned Game of Thrones and talked about how disappointed they were just hours after the finale.
I need to get in on the next big show because you're right. We missed out on Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones. So you just missed the next
conversation. But I feel like Breaking Bad was just universally, like literally everyone that watched that show liked it. No one had a complaint.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody complain about Breaking Bad.
Ever. Was the finale great?
I've never heard anybody say a bad word about Breaking Bad.
I watched the spinoff, Better Call Saul.
You know,
which
I watched
really
some of that
good.
Too. I lost it after a while.
I didn't get sliced for Breaking Bad.
You did?
Really?
I gave up on it after like 4 or 5 episodes.
Wow, you're probably the only one. I didn't even give it one full episode.
Let's go to Dave in Woodbridge real quick. Dave, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, good morning, Jones.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, man?
Here's the 7 books called A Song of Ice and Fire.
Okay.
I was actually a fan of the books before the series. It followed up at season 5, and then after that, it kind of got lost because the books are behind. There's actually 2 more books left. And I actually enjoyed it. It was okay. I like it. That's going to set up. The books are going to be a lot more better. It's going to be different. Like I said, I'm a book reader. So now that I saw the aspect of what W.D. Weiss and whatever, what they did, I like to see George R.R. Martin actually fix it and make it better. I feel that the last 2 seasons were really... for whatever reason, they had some character developments for the first 5 seasons, followed what the books did, and then just crapped on it.
Let me ask you a question, Dave, because I can't relate to you anymore because I'm just a terrible human being. You're a book reader. When do you read books?
I did a lot of my reading when I was in the Marine Corps.
No, but now, today, in 2019, when does a person read a book? They do it before you go to bed? You do it during the middle of the day? When do you do it?
When you play on your phone, I'm reading a book.
And do you actually read books, or are you
books
listening to audiobooks?
I read books. I actually read books. I can't do the Kindle stuff and all that audio stuff. I'm old school. I read books.
Good but
it's really
you,
all
man.
Authors. Yeah, it's all authors that I liked.
You're more cultured than me. I'm jealous. thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
I wish I could just chill with a book. I'm too ADD. I can't do it.
I can't do it either.
I wish I could just relax, chill with, but fall asleep at night reading a book.
I can do a few chapters, but man, I cannot put a full book together.
I read The Master Plan. That's the last book that I read and the first book that I read in years.
Right. I've never been able to like lose myself and read like fiction. Never been able to do it.
I mean, even when I went down to Hilton Head for spring break, I brought a book down.
Right, like you think maybe you read a book at the beach or something.
Yeah, I figured out to sit down on the beach and for a couple hours crank out, you know, 6, 7, 8 chapters.
What
whatever.
Was the book?
It was Eric O'Neill's latest book.
Okay.
It's called Gray Day.
Right.
Eric O'Neill's the former FBI agent where he infiltrated Robert Hansen's
breach.
Inner circle.
We
breach.
Had him in the studio,
breach.
Right?
Yeah. He's got a new book out.
Right.
And I read a few chapters, but
how'd you get the book?
He sent it to me.
Why didn't I get a copy?
He only sent one.
I'd like to read that.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, because we're going to have him in studio in a few weeks.
Oh.
But I just get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I just get distracted.
Me too.
I mean, I'm on the beach. I'm watching hotties walk by. My dog's running
That's
around.
Way better.
I got a buddy there. I mean, I just get distracted.
Yeah.
I can't focus on a book.
I hear you. I wish I could. I feel like I'd be smarter. I'd be more cultured. I'm just a modern American lemming.
We missed out on dragons. In the end, we missed out on dragons.
Yeah, but it was a cultural phenomenon.
Certainly was.
I can't believe it.
I'm glad it's over because now I don't have to feel like I'm left out.
Should mention, later in the show, Eddie Matt's going to join a senior baseball writer for ESPN. We'll talk about the struggling Washington Nationals. Jay Busby, senior writer at Yahoo Sports, will recap the PGA Championship with him right here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I forgot this was happening. Somebody just tweeted me. You can always tweet me at GlassJoeJP. So my daughter, the two-year-old, does swim lessons on Wednesday mornings. Actually, she's pretty good. It just so happened last Wednesday, our girl Melissa Millay, how you pronounce her name?
Yeah. From Channel 4?
She was at Lifetime with the cameras, and they did a feature on Isabella doing swim lessons. I didn't see the piece. I imagine that it was because pools are opening this week.
Right.
Because of Memorial Day weekend. But
did they know who she was? Did they know she was related to you?
Doubtful. I mean, maybe she. Well, no, because I think Malay eventually talked to my wife, and you know, I think she's been to a few of our summer dress parties.
Yes.
And I think my wife came to one a few years ago, and maybe they had a brief interaction, and maybe that's why she sought out Jess and Isabella. I don't know how it worked out, but my two-year-old was on the Channel 4 News this morning, apparently.
Oh, good for her. TV star.
Yesterday, I was in Landover. This happened to all of us, but I'm there visiting my mom. She's been in this rehabilitation center. Hopefully, we'll be home in a week or week and a half or so. And went to get something to eat because she was having like her dressing changed by the nurse and all this sort of thing. And so we just went to the McDonald's, which is right there on Brightseat Road. And got the wave at McDonald's. McDonald's bathrooms, Cakes has talked about this, they are all the same. They always have just one stall, and you just got to pray. Like, if you have the wave and there's nothing you can do, you just have to pray nobody else is in there. And luckily, nobody else was in there, did the business. But it was just one of those things where I was like, if somebody is in there, I am effed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a massive wave that I had.
Right. Made it, though.
I don't know why right? A lot of the McDonald's, they just have one stall.
Yeah, but you mean all you gotta do is get in there and lock it.
I could never.
I know, but my point is, if somebody's in there when you absolutely need to be in there, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's really coming, yeah, absolutely. But if it is what it is, I usually try and find a hotel somewhere. I'd rather go into a hotel.
Someplace bathroom. Fancy.
Yeah, but well, I was actually having
lunch there.
Doesn't
even have to
be
fancy.
I like that they've added the bacon cheeseburger option now.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if it's a temporary thing or it's permanent, but I've always been a quarter pounder with cheese guy, but now they have quarter pounder cheese with bacon. Like, why did they wait so long for that? It's good.
Right.
Hey, bacon's good on anything. Isn't a bacon cheeseburger always better than a regular cheeseburger?
I would say so. It's not typically what I would order. But yeah, yes. Sure, of course. I like bacon. Correct.
Are you a Big Mac guy at McDonald's?
I mean, it's been years. I'm a chicken guy.
He's a fish filet guy.
I'll crush a fish filet.
Back in the day, I used to.
Yeah.
But I'm a grilled chicken guy, and everyone just mocks
me. If I'm really hungry, like I feel like I'm going to faint, I will stop by Mickey D's and get a filet of fish and just pummel it.
Right. Yeah, I'm surprised you don't get two. You strike me as a two guy.
No, I just get one. But I haven't had a Big Mac in probably 20-plus years.
You haven't?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been probably since college.
We go to certain fast food places like McDonald's all the time. It's just a quick
hitter.
You know
what? It's good and it's cheap.
It's cheap. My kids will eat. My youngest will eat chicken nuggets, so I know that she'll eat that.
My two-year-old loves the nuggets and the Happy Meal. They put in the little toy. You know,
you always have to ask for the girl toy.
It is a genius model. I know in Super Size Me, which didn't necessarily highlight the great things about McDonald's, it just points out that they hook kids early.
Of course.
They hook you early with the toys and all that stuff so that in your brain, McDonald's brings you joy when you're very young. So that then that drives you the rest of your life.
Right.
You know that McDonald's, the fries, or whatever it is going to keep bringing you back for the rest of your life. I believe my brother had a birthday party at McDonald's in Bowie. When he was younger,
right.
Yeah,
right.
But that was when Bowie didn't have, you know, all these chain restaurants.
That's Bowie, like all we had.
Bowie only had like four places. They had kind of a cafeteria place called Red Lion. We had Rips. I think they put in a Bob's Big Boy, and then there was a McDonald's.
Right. No, we still go. We still frequent. I could say we were above. We're not.
I destroyed that bathroom, and thank God that nobody was in there.
Right.
Eric, did you watch any of the Yale Penn game yesterday?
Yes.
Man, what a
Watched
game.
Watched a lot of lacrosse this weekend.
Man, what a game that was. I couldn't believe the kid for Yale, I don't know his name, but in the overtime, fell down, kept control of the ball, fought through two defenders, and then fired a, you know, he was only 10 feet from the crease, but just one unbelievable athletic play.
So many goals in that game, too.
Oh, yeah, it was 19-18.
The games this weekend were absolutely unbelievable. I mean, college lacrosse is so amazing.
Have any of them employed the fat guy model that I would, just a big blob to be the goalie?
Not really.
No. Because the goalies don't seem to ever stop anything when I see highlights. Well,
they, you know, they'll make 7 or 8 saves.
And the Penn goalie made two unbelievable saves late in that game, too.
Yeah.
One to save it in regulation, and then, you know, obviously they lose it in overtime. But, man, the Yale-Penn game was awesome. I didn't get to see the Virginia-Duke game. I heard that there was a really gruesome injury.
Duke defender, freshman pole. Yeah. It was awful. Snapped it was one of those deals where they wouldn't even show the replay.
Was it an Alex Smith-type break?
Well, the thing is because I was watching it live as it happened, I believe, unless I missed it, the initial, the contact and everything kind of happened off camera. So all of a sudden you heard like a scrum, and then they span over, and he's already down on the ground, and they're already doing the Theismann thing, waving people
and
over.
And they didn't show the replay.
And they never showed the replay.
Must
and the game
really
was stopped
bad.
For 10, 15 minutes. It was really, really bad, obviously.
Man,
and all I could think about was infection. Because that's all I could think about. I was like, man, if he's
got
a broken bone.
It, my buddy said it was similar to the Alex Smith break, and I said, yeah, I mean, that's we know how that's going.
They just said it was. They just said on TV that it was his leg bent in a way that the human leg is not supposed to bend.
Correct.
And we're not going to show you the replay.
Yeah, that's just
which
bad.
I'm glad they didn't.
So now
for that kid.
So Penn State, they rolled Loyola. They're just money.
Penn State's just this is probably their year.
And
they're so explosive.
They'll play Yale, and then on the other side it's UVA and Duke. And
I have no idea. Like if you had to go through the last 5 national championships in lacrosse, who are the teams?
I don't know. I mean, I can't remember who won.
Syracuse win it anymore? Weren't Syracuse really good?
They're not as dominant as they once were. So Yale won last year. Hopkins hasn't quite has been as dominant. Duke has won recently. You're embarrassing me right now that I can't rip off the last 5.
I don't think it's embarrassing to not be able to do
it. I should know because I'm following it a lot.
Yale last year, Maryland the year before,
right.
Carolina 16, Denver in 15, and Duke in 14.
Right.
So there you go. So, I mean,
yeah. So no Hopkins, no Syracuse. That's who I assumed were the top
Syracuse. Hopkins finished the season strong.
Syracuse hasn't won it in 10 years.
Yeah.
But
both those teams made the tournament.
Well, I mean, the Gate brothers aren't there anymore. Those are the last lacrosse players I've heard of.
Some old references.
Them and
but Maryland, the Maryland UVA game was controversial because there was kind of a phantom goal there late. Maryland had, I can't even know what it was. It was a 12-7 lead.
They had
like
a 4 or 5 goal lead.
A 4 or 5 goal lead with 4 or 5 minutes left. And Virginia slowly just kept winning faceoffs. And one of their goals that they got late was it hit the bar, hit the crossbar, went all the way back out the midfield. And one of the refs out of nowhere said, no, goal. Like it hit enough net or whatever to count as a goal. And you watched the replay a million times. It clearly wasn't a goal. So if you're a Maryland fan like me, you're bitter. Maryland, though, did benefit from an earlier call where they scored a goal where it appeared the kid was clearly in the crease.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get bad calls both ways, but it's sort of a heartbreaking ender for the Terps. But another solid run. I mean, they were literally a minute away from going to another Final Four, and they go all the time.
Yeah,
it's
tough.
My mother's surgeon is this, probably 3 or 4 years younger than us and looked kind of like a ripped guy, and during the follow-up appointment, I'm looking at his kind of bio, because shocker, at a doctor's appointment, it's an hour late, just sitting there waiting, and found out he was a Hopkins lacrosse player.
Yeah, those guys are all studs. They're all studs.
Well, I mean, even at the D3 level, and yesterday, Salisbury was upset by Cabrini, and then Amherst beat Williams, so Amherst will play Cabrini for the D3 title Sunday. I assume that's in Philadelphia as well.
Yeah, it usually is.
Yep, they play that on Sunday. But the hotel I was staying, I went to my cousin's wedding down in Salisbury this past weekend, and at the hotel, the Amherst girls team was staying there. They were playing Salisbury in the D3 playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and ended up losing by 1. But, I mean, this is the time. Memorial Day weekend is lacrosse weekend, semifinals on Saturday.
They get such good run during the tournament, and they are covered. And you can watch lacrosse during the season, but you got to be kind of a diehard to know where it is. I wish they got this kind of coverage during the regular season, though, because the sport deserves it. It's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Hopefully now with the PLL, Rabel's venture in the professional league, they're splintering off from the MLL, and their deal with NBC Sports, They're going to have a couple games on the big network. Everything else will be streamed and then on the you know, like the cable networks. Hopefully that gives lacrosse more and more exposure because it really is an unbelievable game. It's super exciting. The athletes are just, they're so good.
Yep. Well, I can tell you, I'll be watching it on Saturday. I'll watch the semis on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, remember, coming up later in the show, Eddie Matt's going to join us from ESPN. We'll talk about the Nationals, who lost again last night. They are now 19-27. Only one team in the National League with a worse record than the Washington Nationals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.